Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a Marathon Monday. Fully loaded program here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. How you doing, Anthony?
Good, you?
Just peachy. Thank you so much. Enough of the pleasantries. It is a busy, busy reentry Monday. Everything from the weekend, and boy, there is a lot. You have Tiger Woods and the Masters. Absolutely will be a big topic for us today. The Celtics winning game one of their playoff series yesterday will be a topic for us today. The Red Sox and the weekend series against the Orioles will be a topic for us today, as will the Bruins, which I think may be the lead, or it's the thing that I'm most interested in, Maz, is that game on Saturday night, the fallout, the situation with Nazem Kadri, and where that series stands going to Toronto for game three tonight, especially when you see the other side of the bracket and what we thought might be an all-time team on the verge of getting swept, and now what's facing the winner of this Bruins-Leafs series is an 8 seed, a really good one. And I'm not casting aspersions on Columbus. They may be better than you, for all I know. It's just not the all-time Tampa Bay Lightning that you're looking at on the other side. And so that dynamic has changed. But just starting with Saturday night, what a game that was. For hockey Christians like me, that was hockey porn. You know, as close as you're going to get in this modern era without the bench clearing brawls and all that stuff. If that didn't put a little cubby bear in your shorts, Bruins fans, then, you know, we've lost you, which is fine. But that was a tremendous night of hockey.
So look, we've been doing this show now, what, 9 or 10 years, right? Nine or 10 years. How many times have we said you could never play the regular season where they play the way they play the playoffs because you just can't survive? I will tell you that you can't play the way they played Saturday night in the playoffs and survive.
No way.
You can't play 25 games like that.
No.
Can't do it. You'll never make it through. That was unbelievable. There was that stat that they had after about 10 minutes of play that combined hits in the game were like 30, and in game one, the whole total was 50 or whatever it was. It was ridiculous. It was off the charts. So how could you not like the response if you're a Bruins fan? I mean, they came out ready. They were looking for blood.
I mean, it should give you a little heart. And maybe it makes you frustrated. You know, where was that in game one? But at least it's not something that goes from bad to worse or stays the same. I mean, you know, you watch the other games across the league and, you know, that intensity and that just insane level of play. And then you watch the Bruins in game one and the feeling was, what's this? It's like a whole different game. Neither of these teams are going to make it. Bruins can't make it playing like this. And then in game two, there it was. Oh, there it was. The whole team from front to end. And again, credit Cassidy for getting that response in game two, or blame him for not doing the right thing in game one. I think you could do the same thing. But, you know, he activates Backes. He starts that fourth line and just tone setting all the way across the board to the point where freaking David Pastrnak is running people.
Throwing his weight around. And Krejci, for that matter, too.
Krejci, who can do it. He's got it. I never knew Pastrnak could do it. Pastrnak's running around out there like killer. You've got to be kidding me. Taking charging calls? Oh, it was glorious. It was beautiful. And I will say, I will reserve my most praise for Jake DeBrus. This kid, Maz, they might be onto something with this kid.
He's relentless.
Remember, it was a question whether he was even going to draw into the lineup. He got banged up the game before. Not just the Kadri hit on him, but crashing into the end boards after that horrible giveaway. So no one would really raise an eyebrow if he doesn't even draw into the lineup. Not only does he play, but he basically attacks Nazem Kadri all night long. This is a kid who's in his second year. Kadri's in his 10th. That doesn't exactly happen. Young guy like that does not take on an established veteran like that and go toe-to-toe with him. God, is that a good sign.
Oh, he's relentless. And the guy that opened eyes for me, too, again, because we saw a little bit of that DeBrusco, though not with that nastiness that we saw on Saturday night. The other one for me was Backus. I mean, I thought Backus was terrific.
Tremendous. Murray?
Yeah, DeBrusco's a bulldog. I mean, you know the offensive talent, that was obvious, and even in the series last year between these two teams. But that was awesome to see. I'm with Maz, though. Like, as great as that was at the energy level that they played with Saturday night, how sustainable is that?
No, it's not. It's not.
That game at the end of it, there were bodies and blood everywhere. How many Leafs ended up with cuts on their faces?
It was glorious. It was glorious. So, Bruins in general, 617-779-0985. The Kadri hit on DeBrusk, and what we are facing today for in terms of a suspension, Jimmy's got his finger on the button as soon as it breaks out of Toronto, and the video is available. You will hear it here first on Felger and Maz. But your thoughts on that hit and what Kadri should be getting.
So, look, it was dirty, and the second it happened, I went, I can't believe this guy just did this again. That's what popped into my head. Because going into the series, I said, well, last year he got suspended in the middle of the series for 3 games. That's not going to happen again. What are the chances of that? So now you got to deal with him for 7 games, changes the series. And you know what? He did it again, the dope. What a jackass. What a moron. So, like, I look at it now and I weigh it out. And I know that, you know, that they said instinctively on the postgame show 10 games. And I went, whoa, my gut was 5. That's what I felt. Like, 3 last year, there's 5 left in the series, bye-bye, see you later, you're done for 5. I can't imagine he plays in this series, and I know with the hearing, that opens the door for a minimum of 6, right, with
exactly.
The in-person
so
hearing.
It's in-person, it could be higher than 5, yeah.
I mean, so we're looking, in all probability, at a minimum 6-gamer.
Well, they could still give him the 5, and that makes sense to me for the rest of the series. I initially said 2-4. I mean, I might be low, and I know this. I know you out there may disagree with me a little bit. The thing is, he didn't hit him that hard. He cross-checked him to the neck, okay? So he's getting something and he deserves something. But, you know, I said instinctively, I think the thing he did last year was even worse. The thing he did last year to Wingles?
He could have really hurt the guy.
100 miles an hour, Wingles head up against the board, flying hip check, head into the boards at 1,000 miles an hour. I thought last year was,
It was real vicious last year.
Yeah, and so, I mean, so was this, but... I know this is going to sound silly, folks, but this was sort of your garden variety cross-check to the neck. And he's going down, and he should go down. I don't feel like this is Dino Cicerelli, throw him in jail, call 911. It just didn't rise to that level to me.
His history, though, kills him.
No question.
His history kills him. He's done. He's done for the series. He's not playing again in this series.
We'll see. Okay, so as soon as the news comes down, we'll break in and have breaking news for you on the Kadri suspension. So that's a big topic today. Bruins, Kadri, that series. Playoffs have arrived. Took an extra 48 hours, but they're here. How did it feel?
Ever, yeah.
Wasn't that nice? Wasn't that a nice night of passionate, violent hockey? Oh, God, thank you. There it is. Okay. Second item, Tiger Woods winning the Masters. Your thoughts?
I was rooting for him. I was. I'm not ashamed to say that either. And I want to separate the stories here. I'm into the story. I'm sorry. Once he was in contention, I went, this is awesome. This is worth watching. People will be dialed in for this because he's in it. And then as soon as that whole thing shifted on the 12th hole, it was like, and he took the lead. You're like, here we go. And you could see it. He smelled it. It's ultimately the thing that did separate him at his peak from all those other guys, performance enhancers or not. He's able to execute under pressure when other guys can't. And so now that said, let's not go too far with how heroic it was.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Okay.
This is my topic today.
So like, you know, now that, again, I rooted for him. I thought it was a great story. I love that Tiger is now back on the prowl again. I love that. I think it's good. It makes me want to watch. But let's not go too far with, you know, how great a comeback it was, because the bottom line is he's coming back from his own idiocy and freaking, you know, lack of discipline and self-destruction. That's really what he's coming back from.
Murray, were you rooting for him?
I give up. It's another big L that just got shoved down my throat, and I've run out of all the things that I've reveled in rooting against and drinking the tears of others about, because the world's gone to hell, and so is the sports world. I had to eat it with Cleveland winning a championship. I had to see the Eagles win a championship over the Patriots, no less. David Price got over the playoff hump. The Washington Capitals won a Stanley Cup. The Cubs, which is really when I should have known I was done, actually won a World Series. And now Tiger Woods finally broke through. I hate everything. Yeah, I didn't enjoy that at all yesterday, sitting in a bar, listening to others whoop it up while that was happening, and that Molinari was peeing down his leg. So, no, I didn't enjoy it at all. And the comeback is also, yeah, from what? His self-inflicted idiocy. Perfect way to put it.
Is anyone going to mention that the comeback, quote-unquote comeback, is a comeback from his own selfishness and addictions and nonsense?
And narcissism.
Exactly. That's what the comeback's from. It's not like he came back from war, like the way people are treating this. You were some victim. Good God, it was from your own selfishness and narcissism and your lack of self-control is what the comeback is from. Good God.
I mean, reading stories today about it, they made reference to his back injury. This wasn't about his back injury. It was never about his back injury. Plenty of guys hurt their backs.
How do you get the back injury in the first place? Was it perhaps abusing PEDs? Because this is the first. Is anyone going to mention this is the first major championship he's had since his doctor got popped for PEDs?
Yeah.
Is anyone going to mention that?
He looks jacked, too, doesn't he? He's ripped.
Oh, yeah.
Did they test him?
Yeah, right. Like, I'd like to see a blood test. A guy at 42 years old, that ripped, that lean.
Careful about the 42-year-olds, Murray. We got a couple of them in this town.
Oh, hey, look. Same thing there. It's football. They all got to be hopped up on something. But again, the comeback thing, from what? Driving around is a danger to others, all hopped up on Dilaudid? Oh, get the hell out of here.
He came back from almost getting clubbed by his wife because he got caught running around. Oh, my God. The tears in my eyes, the emotion of him coming back. Oh, when his wife chased him out of the house. Oh, I can't believe the adversity. Oh, it's painful. And by the way, it ain't Jack. It wasn't as good as Jack's win in 86. It wasn't as dramatic as Jack's win in 86. It wasn't as hard as Jack's win in 86. And this is what I want to talk about today. 617-779-0985. Are you impressed with the Celtics? Third topic?
No. I mean, how could you again? So I have to admit, I only caught bits and pieces of that game. Indiana can't score with Oladipo. They're hopeless. They really are. They can't. There was the same thing the game out there at the end of the regular season. They just don't have the talent. Like, the fact that it was even a game for a half until that third quarter run and then they opened it up, like, to me, that's an indictment on the Celtics. I'll say the same thing I said Friday. My opinion hasn't changed. I'm going to have a hard time getting into this series because Indiana is so inept. Anything more than five games is a loss.
Agreed.
It's a loss. If the Celtics lose at home in this series and can't get both in Indiana, they should be ashamed of themselves.
Agree completely. Did you happen to watch any of the other games this weekend?
No, but to me, that's the story.
Well, this is my takeaway. They're so lucky that they're playing this Indiana team and not one of these other middling teams like Orlando or Brooklyn that actually has balls and some star power who won their games. They're lucky they're not playing those teams. Indiana, again, this should be a cakewalk. Anything more than five games, the asterisk comes right out.
All right, Celtics fans, you impressed? Tiger Woods and the Masters and that delicious, rich Bruins game on Saturday night and the Nazem Kadri suspension. What's it going to be? What should it be? What should it be? He got three last year for what I thought was just an absolutely vicious, dangerous play on Wingles. Now this will be his fifth suspension, so they keep adding up and they get to be more. And so what's it going to be and what do you think it should be and your thoughts on all of it? Reentry Monday is off and running. To your calls after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, we need to be on time with our start. We knew that. We didn't play to our identity on game one. We all knew that. We're aware of it. We wanted to move past it, have a good response game. How do you respond? You're physical. Win the puck battles, control momentum in the first period, attack when you have the chance, puck possession. There's a lot. We hit a lot of checklists. Basically let them know that, you know, how we're going to play.
And it's McAvoy who takes down Zach Hyman cleanly. Bruins with a puck. Chip it out in front. Fired. They score! Gets involved with Marchand.
Well, they've taken the handcuffs off of Marchand a little bit here in this game. He's already feisty. A little cuff to the back of the head.
Pastrnak into the slot. Feeds Marchand. Shoots. He scores! Now here's Krejci. He got pounded by Kadri. And DeBrusk steps into him and flattens him.
Kadri whining. The intensity's there. The forecheck is there. The finishing of hits is there.
Back of the net, not of the near corner. Here's Kadri. Driven against the wall and knocked down by DeBrusk. They've got a battle going behind the play. Kadri wants some sort of a penalty. High slot is fired wide. And now the two go down.
Well, these two, Kadri opened it up last game with the late hit on DeBrusk. Good hard hit by Jake DeBrusk, finishing him off. And then Kadri grabbed his arm on the way down. DeBrusk with a good face wash. Kadri complaining.
Pastrnak steps in, and he just flattened Jake Muzzin.
They're giving him a penalty.
And Pastrnak is shocked.
I think they're going to say he left his feet, Judd. And if he did, he gave a charging penalty sign. I think that's a good hit. Muzzin leaking. Well, that sure looked like a pretty good hit.
There's just a little sample there. Thanks to Jimmy Stewart putting that together. Cassidy pushed the button. Could also say he blew it in game one. Take it that direction if you want as well. Your thoughts on everything from the weekend. Reentry Monday is off and running. David Plymouth and his good landline leads us off. Go ahead, Dave.
Saturday was a Frank the Tank special, wouldn't you agree?
Yes,
I mean,
for sure.
He has absolutely got to be lathering over Saturday night's game. But on Nazem Kadri, guys, since this is the second year in a row that he's pulled this crap, if he isn't suspended for the series, then somebody's got to take a look at player safety, because this is a joke. It really is. The kid's a punk. He's an absolute punk, and they got to. If they're going to come down on Marchand, then they've got to mete out equal justice.
Okay, so let's wait for the thing to come down before we start crying about the league, shall we?
All right, well, that's fair enough, Mike, but wouldn't you say that, you know, Marchand has cleaned up his act because he realized that player safety probably told him enough, right?
Yeah, so, let's see. Look, I mean, you're getting all lathered up like the league's going to let Kadri off. Let's wait and see what they do. If they give him less than five games, I think he'll have a case to say it's light. If they suspend him for the series, I mean, I don't know.
Do you think that's the number five?
I hate to keep saying it. He didn't hit him that hard.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with that, but two-hander to the head, you're going to get popped.
It was the neck. He cross-checked him in the neck, okay? And he's a repeat offender, and it was intent to injure, and it was up high, and so he should be suspended. I'm just telling you, let's not call 911, shall we? DeBrusk is okay. He was okay the second he went down. He wasn't hurt.
So, again, for you, where would the number come in?
Five.
Yeah, five's the number, I think, too. I said that earlier. I heard Keith Jones say 10. Is that his name, Keith?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard Jones say 10 in postgame, and I went, holy crap, that's way too high.
Yeah, Olczyk and Jones both said 10.
Like, I went 10 games. Wow. Like, that's a huge number. Not 10. Five's the right one.
Let's not go overboard. We're not Montreal, folks. DeBrusk is okay. And don't you want to reserve the right to cross someone else to the neck a little bit? And, like, this is what we want. This is the kind of game we want.
I mean, I tell you what, I was worried about it after the game because I thought Krug and DeBrusk would both be out. So the Bruins lost three guys in that game, I thought. And then I started to say, well, I don't know. If you're Toronto and it's 1-1 and the Bruins just lost three players, who's actually in better position?
DeBrusk I never thought was in danger, honestly.
But DeBrusk and Krug are both playing tonight. So, I mean, Saturday was worth it. Every bit of it.
Frank the Tank, were you in a lather on Saturday?
Like you read about. I mean, I was in the tub. I had my rubber ducky and my sponge and everything there. That was great. That's what hockey playoffs should be. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, the league, yeah, they say they want that, but they really try to gear away from that in a regular season. And I know you can't always play that way, but it was great. It was great entertainment. But look, I'm really surprised at you, Mike, about this Kadri cross check. And when you look at what led up to it, the scrum with them on the boards. You know, Kadri clearly ran Krejci when he wasn't looking. The knee-to-knee hit was really DeBrusk lowering himself, getting ready to go with the shoulder. There was nothing dirty
about it at all. I'm not telling you, he should be suspended. I just, you know what, you want to be Montreal now?
No. But my point is, when it comes to situations like this, the league always, you know, they usually look at, did the player get hurt? Did he finish the game? To me, it has always been, that is not the point. The point of the matter is, did he intend to hurt the player? He cross-checked him in the neck, the head, whichever. You're not cross-checking him in the ribs or the shoulders. You're going for his head. I'm sorry.
What should he get, Frank?
See the rest of,
Frank,
he, what? The rest of the series at a minimum.
Okay, I agree. Five. That's what I said. Five.
I mean, to me, that felt like the right number from the beginning. Again, it was game two. He did it last year. He got three. Like, see you later. You know, if you make the next round, otherwise, have a nice summer.
Reentry Monday. Everything on the board. Luke in Vermont. You impressed with your Celtics?
Not shooting the ball, but what did impress me, we've watched the Kyrie press conferences all year, and just the fact that he seemed engaged and he kept talking about being totally embracing the game plan. He seems to be in a good place, and we know that is important for the Celtics. But I think you guys are making too much about Orlando and Brooklyn and not enough about Philly and Toronto. Those are not championship contenders. They're not championship teams. The verdict is still out on Milwaukee, but Colin Cowherd made a point this morning, and as a green teamer, of course I like it, but I think there's some truth to it, that there's three teams that really have a championship roster or organization, however you want to say it. Golden State clearly above everybody else, then Houston, and then Boston. And Houston and Boston are four seeds. It's not about the regular season. It's about what your ceiling is. What Maz always says, it's about your ceiling.
Well, let's see. Their ceiling's high, but you also got to win on the road. That's hard. Philly is not a championship team. I would agree with you. Toronto, let's see. Although,
I don't know if they're a championship team, but I think they can win the East. Like, does that make sense?
No. Right, exactly. Right, no. Toronto is a team I think can win the East, but holy moly. Can they win a game?
Oh, it's ridiculous. Again, Jesus, you look at it and you say, you know what? They played last year against Cleveland as the number one seed. They got swept. They lost games one and two at home. Now they open game one at home as a two seed and lose again. Like, and I made a mistake. They've lost five straight playoff games, three of them at home.
It's hard to do.
I mean, really? And I thought the number was bigger than that. I missed a round last year because the year before they played Cleveland and they got swept again. So really, against any decent competition or at home, they get their ass kicked every time. There's something like 2-14 in their last 16 series openers.
It's insane.
Something like that. It's embarrassing. Like, I look at you. You can change whatever you want with that team. DeRozan out, Kawhi Leonard in. Like, and they still suck in the playoffs. It's unbelievable.
Adam in Plymouth, reentry Monday. Thought on the Masters. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, I know this is like the 2-6 show shtick, but sometimes you guys come off as a bunch of whiny, jealous tool bags. I didn't talk to one Tiger Woods supporter this weekend that didn't recognize the fact that this was self-inflicted destruction. However, can you guys look at it with the human component and the human element, I guess?
A little bit, not really.
You can't really be amazed that, you know, what he did to overcome, again, self-infliction, but what he did to overcome it and get all the way back.
Oh, my God. He overcame so much, cheating on his wife and getting addicted to pills and running into fire hydrants and getting DUI. Oh, my God, the adversity.
So you're telling me that you've never made a mistake in your life?
Plenty.
Whether it's at that magnitude or not?
Plenty. Plenty. But
okay.
But the coverage is like the guy is like the guy came back from the front or something. Like he's Ted Williams after 4 years at war. Like that's how he's being covered.
Adam, I told you I was rooting for him.
Right, so was I. And I'm not like a huge golf fan or Tiger supporter. I think it's amazing that somebody could have the self-destruction that they did and then get back up to the level that he's at his age especially.
It's a good story. Okay, Adam, thanks for the call. I mean, I'll tell you what. I like this win from him 10 times more than anyone he's ever had. Congratulations, you finally came back on Sunday. So for all you've done is beat up on the field, who shrinks when you show up with a lead on Sunday.
And did again yesterday, by the way, but that's all right. Go ahead.
He's never, at least it took the back nine. He was down three shots at, you know, just after the turn. So at least that was, you know, at least he had to come from behind. Every other major win, his 14 previous major wins, he was leading on Sunday going into the day. That does nothing for me. So he's just better than everybody up, and he shows up and he rolls the field. Yawn. At least yesterday, I'll give him that.
I love that part of the story. Like, the comeback came in a comeback.
It's the best part of the story. He actually had to dig deep, and it wasn't just front-running and stomping somebody. That I'll give him more credit for yesterday's win than any of the previous 14. I will. But can we stop with the, my God, the profiles and courage? Because he cheated on his wife and got addicted to pills and ran over the fire hydrant, and his doctor got busted for PEDs? I mean, would you please with this?
Oh, yeah, no. And it was, to me, it's primarily the coverage of it. Like, okay, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Like, you know, they're talking about this guy, like, what a heroic feat. And the fact is, he was a jerk. He might still be a jerk. I don't know. I have no idea. Feels like he finally got his life back in order. And look at him. He's in unbelievable shape. I'll tell you what I do love about him, though. When he smells it, oh, there's nobody like him. He smells it. And on that 12th hole, when Numbnuts Molinari and the guy with the
Finau or whatever.
Finau. They both hit into the water. And I actually read a great story on this today. Because as I watched it, I went, huh. He was standing on the green when they went to the drop area, which I don't ever remember guys doing.
Like, he was stalking?
Yeah, like he walked up there. Like, you know, usually you sort of wait. Yeah. Everyone walks up together. He walked up there and stood on the green and sort of looked back like, can you guys hit on so I can get on and make my putt?
Is that actually a dick move?
I think it's a total weenie move, but I loved it because it suggested to me that he saw the door open and said, I'm going to walk right through it and you guys can't do anything about it.
Okay, we'll talk about that. We talk about the Bruins, talk about the Celtics. The Red Sox had a nice weekend.
Yeah, finished strong today.
I'll tell you what, that 42 for Baltimore was pretty good. Complete game.
And at the plate? Oh, my God.
I did everything.
It felt like he was always on the bases when I turned it on.
Guy was all over the place. So we can do that as well. But on the Tiger thing, let me give you one more. He ain't Jack. That wasn't nearly as good as Jack in 86. Not nearly. Here's Murray's update. We're back with...
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help Line ma.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here it is. Woods has 2 feet to win the Masters. Everyone quiets down. Tiger, back behind the ball. Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! On top, Tiger Woods, 2019 Masters champion, one of the great comeback stories in American sports history. Masters number 5, Major number 15, and Augusta National roars like never before.
Just unreal, to be honest with you. It's just the whole tournament has meant so much to me over the years. Now I know why I'm balding. This stuff is hard. Just to come back here and then to play as well as I did and did all the things, all the little things well this week, and to do it here. This has meant so much to me and my family, this tournament, and to have everyone here. It's something I'll never, ever forget.
A nice story. I'm not telling you it's not a nice story. And I'm far more impressed with yesterday's win than any of his previous 14. He finally came back, meaning he wasn't leading on Sunday. But can we please? One of the great comeback stories in American sports history, said Mike Tirico. That was the radio call. In golf radio? You can do it, Tirico there, with the golf.
I did a good chunk of it this weekend.
With the radio call. Great comeback stories in American sports. I mean, how long is that list? It's on the list. It's on the list.
I mean, hell, Muhammad Ali had about three of them.
I mean, are we going to say like one, two, or three? Because he cheated on his wife. He got addicted to pills. He ran into the fire hydrant. He, you know.
Of course.
It's all self-inflicted.
I mean, didn't Ted Williams, did he fly a plane in World War II?
Yes.
I mean, like.
And the Korean War.
So, I mean, what are we talking about? And that's just sort of, that's sort of missed. It's all, again, self-inflicted. Augusta roars like never before. Sorry, please. Now, like, why do we got to do that? Because the guy gets a great reaction and a great ovation. It's now the greatest. You know, that's what Nicholas got. That's what Arnold Palmer got. That's what those guys got. It didn't roar like never before. It roared like it hasn't in a while. Fine. But why now? And I'll tell you why. Because of Nike and ESPN and this industrial hype complex that we have now that you didn't have in the old days. It's now got to be the greatest ever. And it's just not. It's not. It's nice. I liked it.
Oh, yeah. Instant classic all the time.
But would you please? In 1986, Jack Nicklaus shot a freaking 30 on the back nine. He was 6 under on the back nine. When Nicklaus won in 1986, he had missed the cut in three of his previous 7 tournaments and withdrawn from a 4th. He was 160th on the PGA money list. When Jack Nicklaus began that day, do you know that Jack Nicklaus, he was tied for 9th place? Nicklaus was tied for 9th place. He was joined by, he was tied with like 4 other guys and there were 8 ahead of him. Jack had to beat like 17 guys that were either tied with him or ahead of him on that day. Tiger Woods was in 2nd, 2 shots off the lead. What are we talking about here?
I remember, and I don't remember whether it was 13 or 15, but on one of those, Nicklaus rolled in an eagle, and the place went bananas. I think it was 15. It was like, oh, here he comes. But no. It was, look, I mean, the Nicklaus run in 86 to me was different. This was, yep, he still gets something left. You know,
that's great. Golf needs it, and it's a good story. You can't compare it to what Jack did. Tiger's 10th on the money list. He finished 2nd in a major last year. He's been building his way towards this for a while. He's been knocking at the door now for a good year. Jack came out of nowhere. He was tied for 9th. He had 17 guys either tied with him or ahead of him. He shot 6 under on the back 9. You can't compare that to what Tiger did yesterday.
I told you, I didn't even go there. To me, it wasn't about Nicklaus. I looked at it and said, this is like, I'm now interested in golf again. Like, I just looked at it and said, I am so glad this guy's back in the mix because I'm interested again. And now the chase is back on. He won't catch Nicklaus, don't get me wrong. But at least now there's that story again.
And, you know, and I don't want to say it was predictable. I've been saying for years, Tiger has a chance and it's going to come at Augusta. That's where old guys win. It's where you break through. It's Sergio Garcia, and I'm not diminishing a Masters win. It's the most important win on the tour. I'm just telling you that old guys contend there, and guys who have trouble winning, they break through there. They know the course, and there's just something about it. It's always been that tournament. Ray Floyd was older than dirt, and he almost won there. I think he blew it in the playoff or something. I can't remember the year. But, you know, so Tiger did it at 43. Jack did it at 46. Get back to me in 3 years. Let's see if Tiger keeps his crap together for 3 years to do it at 46. Let's see him come back. Let's see him come back from not 2 shots down, but how about 6 on the final day? How about doing it from 9th place with 17 guys tied or ahead of you?
And most of it again on the back 9.
6 under on the back 9. So let's see that, and then I'll compare it to Jack.
I'm telling you, it's the best thing about that tournament. And like, it all comes down really to the last six or seven holes. It really does. Like, it starts on that. They say it starts on the 10th tee on Sunday. Bull crap. The 12th tee.
I'm in corner.
It's the 12th tee. That's where it starts every year. And those two jackwagons hitting into the ball, Molinari crapping his pants out there, freaking leaving cannolis and sausages in his shorts.
So, you know, that I'm not going to hold against Woods, because that is part. When Jack won in 86, you remember what Greg Norman did?
Oh, God, collapsed.
Greg Norman sprayed crap over more places on that back nine that day. Remember all the stuff he did that day?
Absolutely.
So, like, that's part of it. So, because you keep your stuff together and everyone else collapses, well, that's the back nine at Augusta. I'm not going to hold that against Tiger. And I'm not going to hold anything against him, really. It's the coverage of it. It's the way people are portraying it.
Oh, God. Let's not get crazy. Again, I was rooting for the guy. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. But I also, I can, like, separate and recognize, let's not go too far and make this guy out to be the victim of a car accident or something, or a hit-and-run driver. The fact is, he brought it all on himself. I'll tell you what I do like about this tournament, because it's on the same course all the time. Back to that 12th tee. Those two guys didn't factor in the wind. And they didn't hit the ball great either. And Tiger has played, do you realize this was the 86th time he's played that course? 86 times. He got on that 12th tee box and he said, doesn't feel like there's wind here, but there is. But there is, because I know. Because it's happened to me and I've played it. So he played it over the bunker in the middle of the green, took a little more club and played a safe shot. Those two other knuckleheads hit it short and knocked it into the water, and they double bogeyed.
Okay, reentry Monday, Masters, Bruins, Celtics. We'll get to the Red Sox. Whatever you want, your calls, I promise, right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listening to Felger and Mass. Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I had, you know, serious doubts after, you know, what transpired a couple of years ago. I mean, I could barely walk. I couldn't sit. Couldn't lay down. I really couldn't do much of anything. Luckily, I had the procedure on my back, which gave me a chance at, you know, having a, you know, a normal life. But then all of a sudden, I realized I could actually swing a golf club again. I felt if I could somehow piece this together, that I still had the hands to do it. The body's not the same as it was a long time ago, but I still have good hands.
All right, back to your phones as promised. That's Tiger yesterday. Mark is in the car. What's up, Mark?
Guys, you guys are missing the whole story. I can't believe you're missing it. But Tiger just explained to you why it's the biggest comeback. It's not that he cheated on his wife. It's not that he popped pills. It's not that he drove his car off a cliff. The story is that he couldn't even swing a club 2 years ago. He could barely swing a club, and now he wins the second most prestigious tournament in the world, and you guys are hooked up when he cheated his wife. That's not the story. The story is that he couldn't even swing a club. Never mind the fact that people were telling this guy he was never going to win another tournament in his entire life, and he comes back and he beats the best guys in the world on one of the biggest stages. That's the story. That's the comeback story. It's not that he popped pills. It's not that he screwed around on his wife.
Yes, it is.
I don't agree with, okay? But that's not the story. The story is he couldn't walk 2 years ago. That's the story.
He's playing that up.
He agreed. Played it up.
Yeah, he couldn't walk.
Playing that up.
No, you're right about part of it. He couldn't walk a straight line is what he couldn't do. That's exactly right, Mark.
No, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Do you have any idea how bad back fusion surgery is?
Oh, here we go. So anyone now with a bad back, now we'll get the back people. If you've never had a bad back, you don't know what it's like. My Rocky Felger, Lantana, Florida, on line 7. Now everyone with a bad back is going to be calling.
So we would have celebrated his friend couples rubbish. The same way then.
That's total rubbish.
Hold on.
The fact of the matter is, do you know how bad a back fusion surgery is? Do you have any idea how bad that is?
Yeah, it sounds bad, but you know what? How'd he get it? Thanks for the call, Mark. I enjoy your work, by the way. How'd he get it? Was he carrying too much weight? Was he doing drugs because his doctor got popped for drugs?
The burden of lies weighing him down.
And I don't know, Mark, maybe you could do this research, or Hardy or someone who really knows the game. Mike at Attleboro does this all the time. But it sort of times out where his doctor got popped for PEDs. They institute drug testing on the tour. And then all of a sudden, I think it was at Bethpage with, oh, my knee, my back, my this, my that. And then he'd be bagged out of the tour for the rest of the year, never got tested. So I don't know. All that stuff sort of timed out there. And I think that was the last major. I think that all, I believe that's how it went. Mike and Woburn will give you the more definitive timeline, but it's something like that.
I mean, the last major was the 08 U.S. Open. That's the one where he blew out his knee, right, with Rocco Mediate. So, you know, whatever it is.
All these WWE wrestlers have bad backs and knees and all sorts of bad injuries. Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa, all these guys.
It's not the back. Like, this cracked me up when I read it this morning. The back, really? So, again, if Fred Couples had won, we'd be celebrating that the same way.
He had a bad back, right?
Oh, brutal. I mean, he only won one major. It was at Augusta, and he never could play again, really. I mean, wasn't quite the same because his back deteriorated over time, and he couldn't stay healthy for 4 days. So that was the end of that. So we would have done the same thing for Freddie Couples.
Not even close.
You know why? Because he didn't run over a mailbox and have his wife smash in his windshield with a 7-iron. That's why. Not to mention get pulled over and couldn't walk a straight line. And then he was asked to recite, what was it, the alphabet, and he sang the national anthem, or the other way around?
Something like that.
I mean, come on. That's the comeback. It was one of the great falls from royalty or, you know, you could ever cite. He owned the world. He owned the golf world. And then he cheated on his wife. He got caught and he started popping pills. It was unbelievable, the demise of this guy. Let's not make excuses for him.
Profiles encourage. Nick in Rhode Island on Nazem Kadri. What do you think of that story? Jimmy, I'm frozen. Can you pop up line 7 for me, please? Nick in Rhode Island. Go ahead. You're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. So I want to take this in a different direction, away from Kadri himself. I think this is more to do with the direction of the league because I don't think Kadri's even going to throw that hit if he doesn't think he has to answer to somebody else when he thinks the refs are going to save him. Because right after he threw that, he falls lifeless on an already lifeless Jake DeBrus.
Chara wanted him.
Popped in the face by Chara.
Right.
And then if he does, he's bringing Chara to the box with him because that's how the league works now. But to go back to earlier in that game, I mean, it was mostly Kadri, but a few other Leafs. When they get hit, instead of answering right back, they get popped in the face again because they turn to the ref and say, where's the call? So I'm not trying to say this is only on the Leafs, but if you don't let the players police this game themselves, these kind of things are going to happen. I mean, if I know DeBrus gets checked, I see more in the back of the head. If he gets that in the bridge, he's probably going out for a few games at least with a broken nose or something else. He got off on that, and we're lucky he's playing tonight.
Okay, so you gave me a lot there. That thing last night's result, or on Saturday night's result of the modern league, I mean, Kadri not having to answer for it, yes. He just lost his cool. It's not what he wanted to do. It's not it had nothing to do with once he was down, he didn't want to fight Chara. Yes, he didn't want to fight Chara. That makes sense to me, by the way. But he did it because he lost his mind, because he can't control himself.
No, look, again, the guy, you can't ignore the guy's history. If it were a one-time thing, you could say, okay, you know, you might be able to bring up some other reason. But the fact is, this guy's done it. This is going to be the fifth time he's suspended?
Yeah, I think it's fifth, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And Marchand makes this guy look like a bunch of misdemeanors, right? A petty thief.
Well, Marchand's had 9, I think.
Well, that's what I mean.
9 fines and or suspensions.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying is Marchand makes this guy look, you know, again, like a small-time criminal for crying out loud. But that thing, like, you know, I have no sympathy for this guy. I'm not going to sit here and make any judgments on the league. He's earned these. I mean, under the circumstances, you're going to pop someone in the head. You know it's coming.
So, I mean, I think the league's gone too far. I wish fighting was a bigger part of it. I don't know what that has to do with Saturday night. But whether there's fighting or not, you can't cross-check someone across the neck in a retaliatory hit because you're going to be suspended. In a playoff series, you can't do it. You just can't do it. He's an important guy for their team, too. That could be a series swinger. And it wasn't quite last year because they had Plekanec, who was, you know, veteran guy, savvy guy, played against the Bruins and Bergeron a ton, and he sort of slotted in there and did some of the stuff that Kadri did. It's still, the Leafs still fell behind 3-1 in that series last year with Kadri out. But if the Bruins keep that physical, that, you know, that edge that they played with, and not that they can match it, because who could? But, you know, if they bring that game and that physical game and that back and forth sort of game and take it down market a little bit, Kadri's one of the few guys on that team that can match it and dish it back to you and go back and forth and stand up to it. And now he's out.
I mean, wasn't he their best player in that game?
Oh, in that game on Saturday night, for sure. Oh, he absolutely was. But in terms of matching that and playing that kind of game, he's one of the few that can do it and do it well. And I mean, he can get to you just like you got to him.
I mean, now they got to play Nylander at center.
Soft. Or Marleau, who's older than dirt.
I mean, see, that's the thing is Toronto just doesn't want to play that way. Right. They don't. And you could see it, too, as the game went on, that it wasn't just that the hits are slowing them down. It's the fear of the next hit that's getting them to get rid of the puck early and peel off of plays. You could see it by the end of the game. They were middle of the game. It was like, nope, I'm not going to. And now all of a sudden they're moving slower and the whole game slows down. I mean, it worked to a T. It was textbook for the Bruins in that game.
Okay, we'll pick this up on the other side. The hearing today for Kadri went off at about 1 o'clock. As soon as the suspension comes down, you will have it here first. We'll break in and give you that news. Here's an update from Murray. No commercials, and we're right back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.